We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Michigan softball has been a varsity sport for 44 years. For 39 of them, Carol Hutchins has been a part of it. Two as an assistant coach and going on her 37th year as head coach. 21 Big Ten titles, a national title. We'll get into all of that here on Conquering Heroes.
Welcome to your one-stop podcast for all things Michigan athletics. Updates on every team on campus and interviews with players and coaches are all on the way. This is Conquering Heroes. Here's your host, John Jansen.
Well, I'm pleased to be joined by one of my favorite coaches at Michigan. She's been here for 37 seasons, been here for 39, if I'm correct, but 37 as the head coach, 21 Big Ten titles, and that's the women's softball coach, Carol Hutchins. Coach, thanks for joining us today. And after, did I get it right? Is it 39 total years?
You know what? You did. And I just realized that, counting those 2 years of being an assistant, that I'm pushing 40, so I'll have to get ready to celebrate that.
Well, we will definitely celebrate that. 40 years at Michigan, that's a heck of a run. And I guess I'll start off with, we all know that this year is, I think the kindest way to put it is unique, but over your time as head coach and even the years as an assistant, how have the last 37 years led to this point to help you and your student athletes through this unique situation?
Well, you know, I was on a call yesterday, myself and the Arizona coach, who him and I are like brother and sister, same age and been in this a long time. And you can't begin to equate experience with any other important aspect in your knowledge base, you know, and if there's one thing we've learned is we are the guiding force to our student athletes and how they approach the challenges they have. And the best thing is when the challenge we have is an opponent like Iowa or Minnesota or whatever. And right now our challenge for the last 6-7 months has been this the newest challenge we've ever had and an opponent that is unlike any other. But I know we've got to be the guiding force for our kids and keep pushing the normal the best we can in what is no longer normal. We're fortunate we have been back on the field since the first day of class, and that's the most normal they ever have in their day. I've never had a team in all my years come to practice every day, day after day, so excited to be out on the field. And it's their chance to be outdoors. I mean, days like today, you know, beautiful sunny weather and warm temperatures has made it really their getaway, and you know, to be quite honest, my getaway. So it's a challenge, but as we tell them all the time, just because it's challenging doesn't all it means is you have to work a little harder at finding the solution, but everything has a solution. And right now we have to forge ahead. We plan to play, even though we don't know when we're going to play, but we want to be ready when we get the opportunity. And I guarantee you that all the student athletes at Michigan are just really excited that they are going to get an opportunity. So watching us next week on the football field, I cannot wait. Those guys are going to be so excited.
They are. And I think we're all excited just to see some competition with within the athletic community, really. And yeah. You mentioned that this has been your escape. It's been the escape for your players. And I get asked all the time about practice and how it was it miserable. And there are some things about practice that nobody enjoys. But every time I stepped across the line, that was my safe place. Do you find that that's been an outlet for your student athletes, for you, for your coaching staff, that every time you're on the diamond, it's that safe place, no matter what chaos is going on outside?
Well, you know, I've said for years, you know, practice is for coaches, it's our classroom, and the games are for the student athletes. That's their, you know, that's their thing, to get to show what they've learned. Their test, so to speak, their practicum. Mm-hmm. I've always been the getaway for all of us to get away from the life as we know it and walk on the field and do the one thing that we all love to do. And the reason we do everything else that we do, whether it's recruiting, going on trips far away, coming back on red eyes, we do all of it so we can walk on that field every day with student athletes that fit the University of Michigan and fit what we're about. The thing I think is different this year is everybody realizes it. It's really hitting home with even the youngest group, the freshmen, who are locked up in that dorm all day, and they are adapting and fitting in so well. I think partly we have a really good group of kids, but I think this is, again, after being cooped up for 6 months, there's just a little more awareness of, you know, when things are taken away from you, as they say, that's when you really appreciate them. So we've got a lot of appreciation going on, and it's just, to me, it's just a lot more clear.
How have you been able to keep the competitive juices flowing? You had mentioned that they've been terrific when they come and they're excited, but how do you keep that going from the start of practice to where you are now?
Well, and as I said, we started up in August, and even though they had been, you know, working out and doing some activities on their own, their timing was off, the pitcher's timing, the hitter's timing. So we spent a few weeks of just really getting them back into the groove. And then we had 3 weekends of competitions, and we used a model that some of the folks out there may have seen on TV. It was called Athletes Unlimited. Mm-hmm. It was a group of professional softball players that lost their professional league this summer, and they all went to Chicago, to Rosemont, and lived in a bubble. And they had a draft every week. They did points per player, so the players were given values for whether it was hits they had in games. If they had stolen bases, they got values. If you were on the winning team, you got points. If you won the inning, you got points. And so we applied that to our own setting. And we did, during the week, various modified scrimmages. And then on the weekends, we had a draft. The two highest point total were the captains of the week. And they would go in the room, no coaches, just a facilitator, our ops, and they would draft a team. And so we had 3 different weekends, and the kids loved it. They were so engaged because we really juiced up the competition. It wasn't just winning the game. You had ways to get points, ways to win innings. If you won an inning and nobody else won it for a few innings, then you got all the point totals from each inning. So it was a little bit of an intricate system of how we kept score, but we kept a leaderboard in the locker room. The kids could see their points accrue every week. And again, how we juice up the competition when, in fact, we have to keep playing each other and keep seeing our own pitchers for months on end. We have to just find creative ways to do it and make games within the game, which is really a large part of sport, is the games within the game. That's called the strategy and the tactics that the coaches utilize always. You know, if we can just get, you know, some coaches talk about in football, just 10 yards. Because if you can get the most 10 yards, you end up being in good position. Or, you know, the turnover game. And in our case, it's bases. The most bases we often award points to. So just ways to generate competition and have them compete with each other. It's an ongoing challenge for us, but we deal with it every fall anyway, because we largely only play each other.
When you saw the captains for the given Saturday go in, and you mentioned that there's a facilitator, but you guys aren't there to see how they pick the teams. But when they come out, is there anything that you could learn from how the teams were formed in regards to whether it was, you know, learning something about the captains or just learning about how maybe your players saw each individual on the team and how they would fit into what they want to see as their team?
Well, you know, that we don't have a lot of kids, so we had to have some parameters so that one team didn't get all the pitchers, you know. He had to make sure his team had pitchers and catchers. But yeah, it was interesting. The very first week, one team picked, we have four middle infielders, and this particular captain picked the two freshmen, who are very talented. Mm-hmm. But, and then later, after the fact, she was interested in, well, am I going to be able to swap them out? Because I've really got the inexperienced ones. And we said, well, you picked them. These are things we all consider. And what we wanted most to get out of this is for them to take that view of the game that they really don't ever take, like making out a lineup, because they made out the lineup. Mm-hmm. And we, again, would just attach a few parameters, like each pitcher needed to pitch so many innings, and they got to choose who started the game, who was middle, who finished. And, you know, when they wanted to insert pinch runners, they made those decisions. So it was interesting to watch. And we tried to mentor a little bit, but afterwards, that's what some of our debrief is, you know, because the more they see the game through our eyes, the more they understand some of the decisions that we make, like when we pinch run, why we take a pitcher out, when we take them out. And I just think it helps them with their overall game, their ability to have that mental sense of the game and understand how it all works together.
How have you been able to manage the roster? Because everybody has been given that extra year of eligibility. Has that been a challenge for you guys, or has that been something like that is just, if they want to come back, they can come back?
Well, no, it's always a two-way street. I asked Coach Harbaugh at the very beginning of this, is we don't deal with the fifth years very often in our sport. We only have 12 scholarships, and we can't have a number of kids who are on scholarship not helping us that particular year. They, of course, do this all the time. And he said the way he handled it was really they have to want to come back, and you have to want them. And, you know, because definitely it's not for everybody to come back. Some kids... perhaps their career just hasn't been what anybody thought it would be, or perhaps they haven't had the best attitude throughout their career. Or in fact, some kids, you know, graduate and are ready to move on with their life. So this year, the NCAA allowed us to go over our scholarship limits, which is very costly to the athletic department. Another cost that we are absorbing that, you know, is we're in financial straits right now. But the biggest challenge is as we move forward in recruiting, because every kid on our roster that was on last year's roster, freshmen, sophomore, juniors, and seniors, have the ability to come back. But we have to balance that but we have to absorb them in our current limits. Mm-hmm. So next year we will not be able to go over. And, we have recruited a lot of kids out front. All of our commitments for next year already. We're getting ready to sign next month. And down the line, as we are now recruiting the junior class, and it's now recruiting, season for the 22 grads, but we don't know if we have kids coming back. So we don't know what kind of monies we have open. And that goes on down the line. Mm-hmm. So is it a challenge? To me, it is. It is something the NCAA gave absolutely no thought to. It didn't even occur to them that we can't just absorb everybody in our limits, because if we just kept everybody and we never took new kids, we would run out of kids after a couple of years. Right. I mean, to me, it's another case where they absolutely are out of touch with what we are actually doing in our sports. And you could say, well, you know, they lost the season, they deserve it. Well, a lot of people have had a lot of loss at this time, and it actually is the unfortunate part of life. But for us to manage it with such little direction has been it's been very difficult. It continues to be, again, this is a very challenging time.
It is. And have there been any discussions or have you heard any rumors that they may address it, or they just drew a line in the sand and said, this is the way it is?
Well, they're talking about, they've already ruled, if I understand correctly, that all the fall sports, even if they do play next spring, will not lose a year of eligibility.
Right.
So they're now creating it for the fall sports, and they're taking a look at whether they'll do that with winter sports. And so the biggest issue I have is, I don't think they listen to anybody.
Right.
I don't think they still realize the challenges that create for each program. And as Ward has made clear, you know, it just makes it permissible. It doesn't make it mandatory. But that can become an issue when you're dealing with student athletes in a setting where it's, you know, they aren't going to come back, but mm-hmm. they're still playing in your program. So, again, the NCAA just wanted to come out of this, I think, looking like they would all be fair for everybody, but it's created some challenges as well. Some of it being good. It certainly is good when you can keep an All-American pitcher for another year. But a lot of times it's just created a logjam in our ability to fill our recruiting classes.
So as I understand it, you've got a pretty veteran class this year, or a team this year. You mentioned, I think it was four freshmen. But tell us a little bit about some of your veterans, some of your seniors that you have coming back, and the expectations you have whenever it is that you get to find out what the schedule is and when you're going to play.
Well, we've got seven seniors in this year's class. We ended up, out of last year's senior class, we had four in the class. Two came back. Haley Hogenrod, who's been largely a three-year starter for us. She's from Zeeland, Michigan. And then Thais Gonzalez, who last year, as a senior, was vying for her first ever starting role and was really having the best season of her life. So they're back. Thais is in grad school, and Haley is finishing up school. And then we've got, five seniors in that class, Megan Bobian being our two-time All-American pitcher. Our ace of our staff since she got to campus as a freshman. Mm-hmm. She was a finalist for her freshman year, the National Freshman of the Year Award. So she'll be back. And then we've got Taylor Bump, who's having a breakout fall for us and has not been a starter for us, but is vying for starting position this year. Big hitter for us. Lou Allen, who's been plagued over her career with a number of various issues. But she's a big hitter for us. We have Natalia Rodriguez, who's a shortstop from Florida, who's been a starter since she got to campus, and a kid who we recruited probably to be a role player, a complement player. And you know what? She came in, and we give everybody the same opportunity, and she took advantage of it. So, you know, she's back in the middle infield. And Sarah Schaefer, who hasn't had much pitching time for us, but based on the sense that we could be playing a really large Big Ten schedule, we're going to be counting on her to really help us this year and contribute. So my expectations are always the same. You know, we play to be the champion. We play for championships, but it's really a matter of showing up every day to compete and to be your best self. I think we have talent throughout our roster. You know, we've got 20 kids total. But the challenge may be the possibility of playing we typically play a three-game Big Ten series, which is challenging enough to get three games in 3 days in the Big Ten footprint. Because those of you who are fans out there and come out in March, come out in April, we alter out of our Big Ten weekends. Almost every weekend, we have an altered schedule. Because, you know, weather in March and April just isn't really softball season or baseball season. So if we have to go to a four-game series, the challenge will be trying to fit all those games when we barely can fit three in 3 days. So to me, that'll be one of the biggest concerns. And the fact that nobody's really recruited to have four-game series, for pitching staff. Mm-hmm. So we're just going to shoot to be the best we can be. And whatever the schedule is, we're going to try to be the best we can be. We're going to shoot for championships. That's what the kids shoot for every time they walk on the field.
So as you continue to shoot for those championships, you've got 21 Big Ten championships, you've got an NCAA championship, you've got just a number of accolades that we could continue to run through. But I, as I started out the show, talking about, it's been 37 years as a head coach. What can you learn, or do you still learn from your team and being a coach after 37 years that maybe, you know, you didn't know in year 36?
Well, I can certainly say that in this year from last year, we have learned how important, and we've known how important being connected to your student athletes is. Mm-hmm. It's something that can get lost in the busyness of everything we do. But this year, when we weren't able to practice and the kids left in March, and we kept tabs with them as a coaching staff, we called all of our kids every week. We had weekly Zoom calls with them. We created some competitions, fitness challenges that the student athletes created. And, you know, really the kids' feedback was how much they enjoyed being in touch with us, not without softball. Mm-hmm. They really enjoyed that. And, you know, I used to think to myself, well, you know, I really need to be in better touch with my kids, whether meet with them more often and have meetings in my office. And, but I'm like, softball always gets in the way. But really what got in the way is, or, you know, every day gets in the way. Class gets in the way. You know, they go to class, they run into their locker room, they run out to practice. But so really, it's not the class that gets in the way. Softball got in the way. We spent too much time on softball, and we need to spend more time on just people. And I've known that, I think, over the years, but this year really made it glaring that we got to spend time. And yesterday being an example, we've gone hard for 6 weeks. You know, 3 days, 6 days a week for three of the weeks. And the kids were just showing signs of really, they're kind of wearing out, tired, not quite as enthusiastic. So yesterday, instead of practice, we basically took them to the ARB. Over half my student athletes had never been to the ARB. And we went on an hour 15-minute walk, up and down a few hills. They accused me of conditioning in disguise, which you could probably say was partly true. But I wanted them to see how beautiful it was, and I wanted to do something with them that wasn't softball. They loved it. They said, this is exactly what we needed today. They loved it. I expect today they'll come back on a beautiful sunny day, hopefully a little recharged to get back on the field. So, well, those are some of the things we keep learning.
As, you know, with any year, there's always things that pop up. This year, it's more than just a pop-up. Obviously, there's been the virus and the shutdown, the way it's affected everyone. There's been social justice issues. We have a vote coming up at the start of November, and I know that October is the hashtag Big Ten Vote campaign, which is why I vote. You've been very instrumental in making sure your players are registered to vote, young people are registered to vote. Can you tell us a little bit about your involvement in that and why it's so important to you?
Well, you know, during the summer after the George Floyd incident, when it just really, I think, racial injustice took on a whole new opening in our world. I think it opened a lot of eyes that I don't know why they weren't opened sooner, because it's not the first or the second or the 100th time these things happen. But it seemed like it was different. And we spoke to our student athletes individually. We had a collective Zoom with some of our with our diversity and inclusion office. And I was still blown away by two things. One, how affected our Black athletes really were, how much they had paid attention to this and had a lot of stuff going on in their personal lives, whether it was worrying about their brothers and those kind of things. I was amazed. Like, I didn't realize how much it was affecting even my student athletes. And the other thing I really realized is how many of my student athletes, because we're largely a white team, said, you know, I just don't really know that much about it. I'm not really affected by it. I'm from a really small town in Michigan or in Iowa, and they didn't really know much about racial injustice. And I thought, wow, it's time for all of us to recognize that this is never going to go away. It's not going to change unless the people that are the most influential in lives, and coaches are, we get to be those influencers. We need to open the doors of learning. And so we read a book as a team, Stamped, which is How to Be an Anti-Racist. We had team discussions over the summer about it. And the kids were definitely intrigued, interested. It's a history book about the history of slavery, which nobody has ever taught in in public schools. Nobody really has taught the history of racism and it's prevalent in our society. So I think the most active you can be, you've got to be active. You can't sit around and just complain about the way things are. You know, what can we do? Well, the first and the biggest privilege we have is to vote and vote for people that if you're opposed to this, you need to study the issues and find ways to put people in place that will be on board with making society better. So those are some of the discussions we've had. All of our student athletes are registered to vote. The NCAA has given the directive that on November 3rd, there will be no CARA activities for any sports, meaning there can be no practice activities. And in my mind, I was willing to take that day off from activities in September if we could go up to the DIAG and be the, you know, student athletes 100%. Let's get 100% of the students. You know, gatherings, of course, being the challenge that we keep running into every time we want to do something. But, you know, so I think it's important to be, I can only educate the kids I'm connected with. And I tweet out, vote. I just got my new mask. It says vote on it. I went to practice on Saturday. And the kids definitely know that I'm a staunch supporter of using that right and that privilege, and as all Americans are. And I think it's important that everybody talks about this being the most important election in our history. Well, I'm older than most folks, and I can tell you I believe it is. It's important that people turn out and their voices are heard.
Well, Coach, we appreciate your voice. We appreciate your presence and look forward to seeing you you know, continuing the excellence and pursuit of that next championship. So thanks for joining us today.
Well, thanks for having me, John.
I want to say thank you to Carol Hutchins. I know I mentioned it at the end there in regards to her voice and her presence, but when you are on at Michigan's athletic campus, one of the giants in Michigan athletics is Carol Hutchins, and we can't say thank you enough to what she's done for Michigan softball, what she has done for Michigan athletics and the University of Michigan as a whole. So a big thanks to her for joining us today. We will, as we start to get some of these sports up and going, obviously in another 10 or 11 days, we will have Michigan football kicking their football season off against Minnesota. We'll start to get some more, and we will add what we had at the beginning of Conquering Heroes when we launched the podcast, a news portion to make sure that you stay up to date on everything that's going on around the Michigan Athletics campus. So we're excited to be able to bring that back into the fold, and we will as soon as we have some news to talk about. So stay tuned here. We'll keep you up to date. Next week, we will have Michigan's athletic director, Ward Manuel. Looking forward to getting an update from him on the status of Michigan athletics and everything that's going on campus. We'll talk to you next week on Conquering Heroes.
Thanks for listening to Conquering Heroes with John Jansen. Conquering Heroes is part of our Michigan Athletics Podcast Network, MGO Blue Podcasts. The preceding is a Learfield IMG College presentation of the Michigan Sports Network.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.